Testing, 1, 2. Testing, testing. There it is. Yeah, a little bit. The sooner you sit down, I won't have to tell jokes. Oh, look, they're scrambling for their chairs.
Sisters, I do thank the Lord for the privilege. I've been praying this week for those whoever would speak this morning, and I didn't know, so I'm very thankful for the opportunity. As we come to study, look in the Word of God. There is that principle that we call the indispensable principle. And it's simply total reliance on God's Holy Spirit. Only God can reveal God. And He delights, He desires to do it. I want to share this verse before we pray. It's 1 John, this is not on your sheet. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. And it says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And I used to think that was that we might have fellowship as believers. But the context says that you might have fellowship with us. It's me and the Lord. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I pray that the little bit I've seen and what I've heard, I'm going to declare to you so that you can have fellowship with us. My fellowship's with Him. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for every revelation of Christ that you have shown us. Thank you, Lord, for beginning to show me what it means that Jesus is the Word. And so we pray as we meditate together on this precious truth that you would take us forward in a heart knowledge of Christ. We trust the indwelling Holy Spirit to turn our eyes to Him. And then, Lord, grace us to embrace Him, not as I present Him, but as you reveal yourself to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can see from the title, and Paul already leaked it out, that I'd be looking at Christ as the Word. This title comes from the prologue of the Gospel of John, and that's chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And I don't know if you've ever studied under the guidance of the Holy Spirit this wonderful prologue, but these 18 verses are really, really something. I'm going to read a couple of quotes. Some of these commentators you might recognize, and some perhaps you haven't heard of, but all I'm quoting is a sentence or two about what they say about these 18 verses. They've looked at this prologue and they've made comments. And before we dive into the prologue, here's what they say. Augustine, you're familiar with Augustine. He said, it is beyond the power of man to speak as John speaks in this prologue. Calvin, the prologue says more than any mind can take it in. Gaudet, he's a Swiss theologian. The richest expression which Jesus ever had of his own person. Alexander McLaren, gotta throw a Baptist in there. The profoundest page in the New Testament. That's what he said about these 18 verses. the Interpreter's Bible. No book in literature has so breathtaking an opening as these stupendous findings on the life and character about to be described. Lenski, we'll bring in a Lutheran. These words are worthy to be written in letters of gold. Amid all that has been written in the instruments of inspiration, this prologue stands out as the one paragraph that is the most profound, the most lofty, and the most incomparable in every way. That's what these men who have studied the word say about that prologue. Bishop Ryle. And that'll be the last one. Nowhere shall we find so many expressions which for want of mental power no mortal can fully grasp or explain. These are the most sublime verses in the Bible. There's something here which nothing but the light of eternity will ever fully reveal. I want you to get a feeling. I'm dipping into this prologue, and godly commentators, men of God, have seen that as a very precious portion. With that as an introduction, I want to read the sort of the terminal points, how the prologue begins, how it ends. John 1, the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that came into being. He's the Creator. Psalm 33:6. By the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. And then in beginning in verse 14, please. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him, cried out saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." I want to turn your heart to the terminal points. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only God who's in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is a person. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. The Word is a person. Verse 18, He has explained Him. The Word has explained God. That's what it's saying. I'd like to share a few devotional thoughts on that great truth that Christ is the Word that explains God the Father. That's very, very important. Matthew 12:34, out of the mouth for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. King James says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the abundance of God's heart, the Word, He speaks. And so we need to see Christ as the Word. Bible scholars tell us that the word translated in verse 18, now I may not pronounce this right, I don't know how to pronounce Greek words, but I think it's exegeo. And from that we get our word exegesis. When I went to Bible school, they gave us a syllabus. I came out of the woods. I didn't know anything about anything. And I didn't even know what subjects were being taught. They said, we're going to have exegesis, and we're going to study soteriology and numerology and hermeneutics and homiletics. I had never heard those words. I had no clue what I was signing up for. But anyway, they were very passionate at Bible school about this exegesis. The word exegesis means to draw out. And they said, when you study the Bible, you need to be an exegete. You need to draw out what's there. And they warned us about eisegesis. Eisegesis is reading in. And they said, don't you read in, you read out. And this whole idea of slapping on our own background and our own ideas and our own culture and our own definitions, it's very easy when you come to the Bible to slap on what we think it means. But what did the author mean? What did God intend? And that's exegesis. Call attention to that, because chapter 1:18 uses that word. And it says, Christ, the Word, exegetes God. Explains God. Draws out God. Now don't read that la la la. This is a tremendous thing. God has spoken, and it's the Word, His Son. And that Son is the revealing Word of God. All claim to any knowledge of God that comes apart from the Word exegeting Him is false. It's not real. It's not true. Nobody knows God apart from the Word. The Word explains God. The Word exegetes God. Matthew 11:27. That's not on your sheet. No one knows the Son but the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And he to whomsoever he desires to reveal him. When Christ, the Word, exegetes God, it's not the same as Isaiah or Ezekiel or the Apostle Paul. You see, the Word came to Isaiah. The Word came to Jeremiah. The Word came to Ezekiel and the prophets. The Word came to Paul. The Word didn't come to Jesus. He is the Word. That's different. That's different. Jesus exegetes God. Not by inspiration, but by incarnation. We'll look at that in a little bit. Now, a key idea in the background of this prologue, there would be no such thing as in the beginning was the Word, if in the background of that there was not a desire in God to be known. He wants to be known. That's why he gave the Word. That's what this whole prologue is all about. God is a God that desires to be known. He wants us to know him. He wants to be explained. He wants to be revealed. He wants to be exegeted. And there's only one that can do that. No one knows the Father except the Son. So if anybody's going to exegete God the Father, it's got to be Jesus the Word. And the fact that he gave us a Word is proof that he wants us to know him. He wouldn't have given us a word otherwise. Now, I'm going to ask you to be patient with me. I want to play with this a little bit, just to go from the known to the unknown. You know, we use words. We use language. We talk. On the low level of earth, where we don't live anymore, but we'll start there. On the low level of earth, what is a word? You see, a word is a sound that has meaning. Not a grunt. Not a scream, although sometimes a scream can have meaning, I guess. But it's a word is a sound that has meaning. And apart from words, I don't know what you're thinking. And you don't know what I'm thinking. You need words to express thoughts. Now, you might think that you can tell by the look on my face. You say, well, I can tell by the look on his face. He's jealous, or he's angry, or he's sick, or he's tired, or something like that. He's upset, he's sad, he's happy. But really, you can't tell by the look on the face. You need words, I need words. And sometime, one word is not enough. Sometime you need a sentence. Sometime you need a paragraph. Sometime you need a whole chapter in order to communicate. Sometime when we try to express our thoughts, after we've given you a lot of words, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I mean, then we say, in other words, and then we start all over. And we use other words to say the same thing. Sometime one word will do. If I'm standing at the Grand Canyon, my eyes open wide and my mouth open wide, and then I say, wow. You get a pretty good idea because of the context, what's going on in my mind, in my heart. If I have chocolate all over my face and there's a chocolate cake there, and I just say, delicious. You get the idea. One word is all that you need. Sometime, one word will do. If your house is on fire and the fireman says, jump, one word will do. You know what to do. If the missile is coming at you and someone says, duck, you know what to do. This one word doesn't always work. For, any golfers here? I made a shot. I yelled, for. And I got sued because I hit a lady in the head with the golf ball, and I got sued. So sometimes one word doesn't do it. But you know what I'm trying to say. Now, play along again. I'm thinking of a person, not Lillian. I'm thinking of a person. Any guesses? See, you don't know if it's a girl, you don't know if it's a boy, you don't know if it's a baby, you don't know if it's a politician, you don't know if it's an athlete, you don't know, you have no idea what I'm thinking. I was thinking of my friend Pat, who went to heaven. Pat's a dear brother of mine. But if I just give you one word and say, I'm thinking of an animal. You say, I think I need more information. I'm thinking of a bird. I'm thinking of a plant. One word is not going to do it. And sometimes those words get big. The word planet. Somebody please exegete planet. Say, give me a break. That's a big word. How about galaxy? Say, there's 20 billion galaxies. How in the world is that one word going to do? It's too big. It's too comprehensive. If I'm going to explain Earth, then I'll need books on rocks and books on weather and books on animals, books on fish. I'll need to study all that, and then I won't be able to do it. It'd take 1,000 lifetimes to exegete Earth. I don't think anybody knows everything about anything. I don't think you know everything about a blade of grass. Ask a doctor about the systems in the body. They'll confess they're ignorant. They don't know anything. Well, the Gospel of John begins with a word. And I'll tell you, it's not a little word like planet or galaxy or universe. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Listen carefully. The Word was God. Three letters. G-O-D. Tell me everything about that word. Tell me everything about God. Exegete Him. You say, I need a little help. That word is too big. It's too grand. One word, God. I have a better shot, to be honest with you, of understanding galaxy or planet or universe. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word is God. The revealing Word. Jesus said, I will explain Him. I will exegete Him. I will tell you everything there is to know or that you need to know about God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. God saw my dilemma that I couldn't handle God. And so the Word, who wants to exegete Him, who wants me to know Him, to help me out, the Word became flesh. And I said, thank you, Lord. Now, maybe I can handle it a little better, because now I can see Him. The Word, God, is just too big. But now, I can look. For 33 and a half years, He lived among us. A sinless man. You want to know God? Look at Jesus. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And when He had made purification of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So I say, that ought to help me now. I'll know who God is because the Word became flesh. And He always pleased the Father. He was always about the Father's business. It was His meat to do the will of His Father in heaven. He mirrored God. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So you want to know God? Say, well, here's the Word. The Word is God. Say, thank you, but I need a little more help. And He said, all right. The Word becomes flesh. And now you have the living Word. Look at Him. You'll see the Father. You'll see His love. You'll see His compassion. You'll see His justice. You'll see His holiness. You'll see His faithfulness. You'll see His willingness to take your sin to be your substitute. But as the revealing Word, I said, the Word was God, too big. The Word became flesh. That's too much too. You know, you study that and you just say, I appreciate that He tabernacled among us. But in my heart, it seems so cold. So I study Him, I study Abraham Lincoln, I study George Washington, I see the facts. Lord, the Word was too big, the Word was God, thank you for becoming flesh. I feel like Abraham. Don't get angry at me, but let me ask you once more. I appreciate that the infinite became an infant. I appreciate that the infinite became finite. If you took all of the mass in the whole universe and reduced it to nothing, the distance between everything and nothing is still finite. That's not as great as the distance when the infinite became finite. That's a greater distance than everything to nothing. And then he became sin. Bless God. Thank you for all of that help. However, as great as it is that you humbled yourself and lived among us for 33 and a half years, I feel like I'm no closer to knowing the Father than when I started. So I say, Lord, if you don't mind, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is God. That's too big. That's too big. I can't take it in. All right, the Word became flesh, the living Word. That's too big too. So I say, Lord, I know you want to communicate. I know you want to explain. I know you want me to know you. But can I have words? One word's not, that's not working. Even the Word made flesh is not enough. Can I have words? And God said, all right, I'll give you 66 books. I'll give you words. You want words? I'll give you words. I'll give you 1,898 chapters. Is that enough words? I'll give you 81,173,000 words, verses. I'll give you 773,692 words. You think you can handle it? My heart says, that should help. Thank you. Now, the word was made flesh. The Word is God. I can't handle that. The Word flesh, a living Word, even that's too big. Now I have words. I have a book. I have all these chapters. I have 750,000 words. That ought to help me know God. And so I go to study. He said, study the histories, study the prophecies, study the types, study the poetry, study the miracles, study the parables, study all the titles, all the descriptions of God, study the songs, the music, study it. And so I bow before the Lord and I said, thank you, Lord. The Word was God, too big. The Word became flesh, too big. The Word now is words, all of these words, thank you. And so I put myself to the task, the glad task of studying this book. And at the end of it all, what do we have? We got creeds and systematic theologies and philosophies and denominations. They all come from the book. For years I heard there were 33,000 denominations in America. I had to check it out, so I went to Dr. Google this morning. I was wrong. 51,000 denominations in the United States come from the book. And I cry out, Lord, I got a problem. The Word was God. That's too big. The Word became flesh, and I studied it, and it's wonderful. It's too big. It gives me 66 books. And I end up with cold theology. I end up with creed. I end up with systems of theology. I say, Lord, I need help. Again, once again, I feel like Abraham. And I cry out once more, Lord, please. I venture to speak again, though I am dust and ashes. Could you help me out? Is there anything else you can do? Because the Word God was just a little bit too big. And the Word made flesh, the living Word, it's wonderful, but it's too big. And this, the written Word, praise God for the written Word. But I'm becoming more proud. The more I study, the worse it gets. And you said that you wanted to exegete your father. You said you wanted to explain him. It's not working. Anything else you can do? And God says, I love you. You don't know how much I want to make myself known. So I'll give you another provision. John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. He'll disclose to you what is to come. John 16:14. He will glorify me. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine. He will disclose it to you. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, so that we may know those things freely given to us by God. And then chapter 2:16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Do you see what God has done? In the beginning was the Word was God. Too much, I can't handle it. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Too big, too big. All right, I'll give you words. Yeah, but that just leaves me with doctrine and creed. And he said, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will put my Holy Spirit in your heart so that you can come to the written Word, and I will reveal the living Word, and when I come to the written Word and reveal the living Word, then the living Word will exegete God, and you'll know God. Christ, the Word. I cannot know God apart from the Holy Spirit. This whole message is on the indispensable principle. I need the Holy Spirit to take the words, to show me the Word, so that the Word can exegete God and I can go forward in a heart knowledge of Him. I can't know God apart from that. There's only one way, you've heard it very often here, one legitimate way to study the Bible. You don't study the Bible to know the Bible. God has not given the Bible to know the Bible. He's given us the Bible so that we can know the Lord. You don't study Genesis to know Genesis, or Psalms to know Psalms, or Romans to know Romans. You study Romans to know Jesus. Amen. You got to know the Word, because the Word exegetes the Father. The Word is there to declare Him, to explain Him. And there's no explanation apart from God's provision. He has given His Holy Spirit so I can come to the written Word, so He can show me the living Word. And seeing the living Word, I can come to know God. That's Christ as the Word. Oh, may God help us see Him. He's the revealing Word. He's the living Word. As I get ready to wind it up, I want to take one more step with Christ as the Word. But let me start in Hebrews chapter 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. In that verse, God has spoken unto us in His Son in many portions and in many ways. I used to think what that meant was that in the Old Testament, God used dictation and he used dreams and he used visions and he spoke in the thunder and in the still small voice and in types and in impressions and in prophecy. He spoke in many different ways. That may be so, but I don't think that's what God is saying here. I think what he's saying here is God used to speak in fragments, in portions, in pieces, in an incomplete way. But in these last days, he's spoken unto us completely in his Son, in his Son. Jesus is God's complete work. You know, in many translations, and probably the one you're using, if you see something in italics, it's an indication that it's not in the original. It's the translator's assistance. They're trying to help you understand. And in Hebrews chapter 1, 2, in these last days he's spoken unto us in his Son. The word Son, I mean the word his, is in italics. It doesn't say he's spoken unto us in his Son. It says he's spoken unto us in Son. What does that mean? I think you'd know what it meant if I said he's spoken unto us in English. He's spoken unto us in Spanish. He's spoken unto us in German. Spoken unto us in Greek, in French. He's spoken unto us in Son. He is the language of God. That's how he speaks. In other words, you come to this book and he has nothing else to say except Jesus. He's spoken unto us in Son. That's the language that God has. And it's the Holy Spirit's privilege. It's the Holy Spirit's ministry. Every time you come with a hungry heart to this book, the Holy Spirit will take this written word, not to make you doctrinally sound and give you a creed so you can join the 51,000 denomination. He wants you to know him. The word wants to explain God, and so he speaks in that language, in Son. He has nothing else to say. Hebrews 12:2, he's the author and finisher. That's everything. Revelation 22:13, he's the Alpha and the Omega. That's everything. Same verse, he's the first. He's the last. He's the beginning. He's the end. There's nothing else. It's only the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1:10, all things are summed up in him. In him. And so he's the revealing word, he's the living word, he's also the final word. Let's read that last passage, Revelation 19:11-16. This is the second coming. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations and rule them as with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus is the revealing word. Jesus is the living word, and Jesus is the final word. He's the final word. He's coming again. There are no other options. God says, I will make myself known. I'm going to make myself known. And in His grace, by His Spirit, He opens the Word and shows us the living Word, and we know God. But for those that refuse that, He's the final Word. He's going to make Himself known as Lord and Savior or as Judge. He's coming one day to judge the earth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may God help us enter in a fresh way to Christ, the Word, the one who reveals the Father, as the Word, the living Word, the one who from the pages of these many words becomes life to us by the power of the Spirit, changes us. And then someday, He's the final word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for even the little understanding we have of all that it means that You are the Word. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for becoming flesh, for living out the reality of Your love and Your compassion for us, taking our place, taking our sin, rising again, giving us Your life. Now, Lord, we are without excuse. We have the Holy Spirit who takes the words and shows us the living Word who exegetes the Father. If we've seen Him, we've seen the Father. Thank You. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.